Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Comlock Center, and they can be found on the web at comlock.com. That's K-A-M-L-A-K.com. Our guest tonight is the magnificent Dave Kane. And if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. So, Bob, what's up today?
Well, you know what's up. We're scrambling, getting ready to head tomorrow to our summer grief retreat in Chester, Connecticut. And we always look forward to that event. It's not the largest thing that we do, but it is the most significant, because we look forward to trying to help people change the way that they think about death. And when they do, some of the grief transformations are significant. There was a story today, which I wanted to mention. It was in the Washington Post. So listen to this. People, and this comes under the heading of coincidences or synchronicities.
Okay.
So there's three brothers. They live in the Washington, D.C. area. And they, their family is from Ireland. And the three brothers plus a brother-in-law visited Ireland because their grandfather in Ireland had just died. Mm-hmm. And they were there to celebrate his life.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they got to Ireland, it was a nice day. They immediately headed to the beach, the four of them. They took off their shirts and then saw a six-year-old girl drowning offshore. And she wasn't doing well, and she was pretty far offshore. So they immediately jumped into the water. They happened to be athletic and strong swimmers. And in a choppy sea, they swam, it's estimated, about a half mile.
Wow.
To reach this girl who kept going, you know, under and then back up and under and so forth. And they were able to reach her and, you know, bring her back and revive her and save her. Now, here's where the coincidence comes in. Their grandfather, who they went to Ireland to celebrate his life, he had just died, the grandfather lost his own brother to drowning on that exact date decades before.
Wow.
You know, so when they interviewed one of the brothers, he said, it's kind of like this godly guardian angel kind of feeling, he said, that the same day, you know, his grandfather's brother drowned was 64 years ago to the day, and we actually saved the life of a six-year-old on that day. So, you know, it's pretty powerful. You know, the three of them, for some, you know, they didn't plan on it, but they, as soon as they got there, they wanted to go to the beach, you know, and immediately, you know, saw the girl and was there. And I doubt that anybody else could have saved. You had three or four very, very athletic, strong swimmers that did it. So, what do you make? Is it a coincidence or is it a?
Well, there's a million questions going through my head, because a lot of times we like to believe that these synchronicities are something that's planned by the universe.
Right.
But why would you plan a child drowning? It just, you know, just to make a point of a coincidence. That just seems bizarre.
That's a good point.
But the fact that all the other things match up, I take it more like, and I do believe there's a difference between a coincidence and a synchronicity. I think it was a coincidence, the date of the two drownings or the coincidence. The synchronicity is, or the universe at work, I should say, is the fact that these four strong men were brought to this place on this date because this girl was going to need help.
Right. And let's say the deceased relatives of this 6-year-old girl, you know, maybe she had grandparents in spirit, or, you know, angels in spirit, whatever you want to call it. Maybe they, we know that, you know, time and space is it doesn't mean much when you're in another realm of existence. So maybe they saw this playing out, and they put the thought in the head of these, you know, three brothers, you know, to be at that spot at the same time.
Right. Go to the beach.
Yeah.
You need it at the beach.
Right.
Enough of this celebrating.
Right.
Go to the beach.
Yeah.
So I
thought that was pretty interesting. I also, you know, I've been reading yet another book about reincarnation, because we have an upcoming guest, another expert, you know, Dr. Jim Matlack, who just wrote a book. It's a very comprehensive book about all types of aspects of reincarnation. And as I was reading, it dawned on me, I have to be open to the idea that people's habits and their behaviors, maybe their sexual proclivities, are the result of previous lives, you know, that even though they're not consciously aware of it. So, you know, we say, well, why don't they change it? It's not even a matter of trying to change. That's who they are. They're this previous person. What do you think?
Well, that has crossed my mind, as well as the fact that when they make their so-called contract to incarnate, they incarnate with whatever those aspects are that are going to influence what their life is here.
Right.
So it's not something that changes. It's something of who you are and your purpose for being here, which now makes me think back to the little girl drowning in the water, because now I'm saying, well, why couldn't she have been the reincarnation of the deceased uncle?
Mm.
Right? Saying, hey, I'm going to meet up with these guys again.
Right. Who knows? You know, also, you know, in my reading, there are many cultures in the past and even today that believe that the soul could reincarnate at the same time to different sets of parents.
I believe that.
So if that's true, so let's say when we meet somebody that we deeply recognize, or we meet this soul partner, it could be that we're meeting part of ourselves. That's why we deeply recognize them. They're part of who we are. You know, so that's another thing that goes reincarnation.
Haven't you had experiences where you've met someone, you've been introduced to someone for the first time, and you look into their eyes, and you have that instantaneous connection with them?
Right.
Like, and then you're trying to figure it out. Did I meet them before? Where do I might know them from? But I think it's bigger than that.
Yeah. Well, you know, people, they say that we incarnate into groups, soul groups, right? And they could be part of our groups, which ultimately could be part of us or part of, you know, the concept is so hard for people to grasp that how could, you know, my child, you know, be my father, you know,
right.
Stuff like that.
But as the saying goes, the eyes are the mirror of the soul.
You got that from one of the mirrors that we had, right?
And they'll be available at the Grim Retreat.
Yeah. Well, I think that show with Dr. Matlack is going to be at the end of August.
Excellent.
So I have lots of things to talk to him. And, of course, I know that we're going to go to a break. We have a wonderful guest. He's been with us before, and many people at the foundation have been treated to some of his presentations. So he's very entertaining.
That's
guy.
Why I referred to him as the magnificent
Dave
King,
because
he really does, at all the times that we've had him speak before people, he really does not only move them, but he makes them understand what's really going on with all of his stories. It paints the whole picture and puts the whole puzzle together, and everybody walks out of there with this wow feeling. feeling.
Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to hear some of those stories. So stay with us, and we will be back in a few minutes with Dave Kane.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest this evening is Dave Kane. Our sponsor tonight is the Camlack Center, and they can be found on the web at camlack.com. Bob?
And I'm going to give Dave Kane a formal introduction, because he deserves one, the sea captain that he is. He's a radio talk show host. He's a comedian. He's an actor, a performance artist, an author, and a few other things that I won't mention. Back in the 80s, he was a stand-up comedian. Matter of fact, people called him the Pitbull of comedy. And, of course, he's known for his passionate and sometimes confrontational style of talk radio, as he urges people to stand up for what they believe in. And not only that, but to take action in the face of injustice. He's been involved in the field of radio for over 40 years. And among all of his charity work that he does today, he has embraced the mission of discussing the afterlife and sharing personal experiences. Dave's son, Nick O'Neill, at age 18, was the youngest victim of the station nightclub fire of 2003, in which 100 people lost their lives. In the wake of this tragedy, in 2006, Dave authored his first book, 41 Signs of Hope. In the book, he shares anecdotes of synchronistic and it's at times seemingly supernatural occurrences revolving around the number 41, which Dave and his family are convinced to be communications from his son Nick from the spirit realm. Dave also appears in the movie 41, which is a documentary about Nick's life and legacy. And his talks about personal experiences and insights have provided a great deal of inspiration and hope to the bereaved. He does have a website, davekane.net. Welcome again to Signs of Life, Dave.
Boy, what an intro. I can't wait to hear what I have to say.
We can't wait either. So there's a lot of people listening. There are a great many people who report frequent synchronicities with specific numbers, and very often, at least the ones we hear about, these numbers are connected to those who are no longer in the physical. So let's start off with Nick's connection to 41 and some of the ways it continues to appear in significant ways.
Yeah, well, Nick, like everybody, I guess, he had a special number. His was 41, but he didn't know why. I mean, it wasn't anybody's birthday. It wasn't a significant number to him that he could think of. He tried to check it out. We looked into numerology. His brother Chris tried to help him. We had no idea, but he'd get in the car with me and say, "Dad, look, it's 241. And we'd see our license plate, "Dad, 41, 41. And he just was obsessed with it. And didn't know why, and he was obsessed with the fact that he didn't know why. Well, when Nicky passed, he was 18 and 23 days, 41. The station nightclub where the fire was, where he passed, was at latitude 41.41. The fire call box at that station was 4414. And on the cover of my book is a sketch of Nicky from a videotape we found a year after he passed. And in the videotape, his mom's holding him. He's about 4 months old, and he has a little baseball uniform on, and the number on the cap is 41. And that was only the beginning, and it's a beginning of a very long and intricate story, not only about this number showing up, but like other people have had what we call synchronicities, music at just the right time, and nickels and feathers and coincidences that people just can't explain. And the trouble is, I think, that most people have been trained to go, "Oh, yeah, how about that?" And then they, like, walk on. You know, they don't stop and realize the impact. It's like somebody trying to say, "Peekaboo, here I am, here I am." And they're not getting it, like charades, I guess. And so yeah. I'm hoping that people will pick up that there is really something to this and to embrace it.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of the skeptics will say, "Well, these things are all pure coincidences, and they only occur because you're focusing on them, so you notice them." But from what you're saying, and I agree, it's not simply that they occur, but it's the feelings of connection that accompany the sign. So when you get a sign from Nick, you know, in your inner being, that it's from Nick. I mean, is that a fair statement?
Oh, yes. You can absolutely tell the difference, and we feel it. We can tell the difference. And we say out loud, "Okay, now I know that's you, Nick. I know that's you." And we keep the communication open. You know, sometimes I analogize it with, there are two women in a supermarket talking to each other, and sometimes one of them might have a little girl, and the little girl's pulling mom's skirt and saying, "Mommy, mommy, mommy," but the mother keeps talking. If you imagine that the mother is talking about how much she misses her child who's passed, but the little girl is right there going, "Mommy, mommy, mommy, I'm right here." And that's what people need to understand, that our loved ones want us, first of all, to know that they are okay, and secondly, to know that when it's their turn, they will be okay. And that's very important.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, which is interesting, is that, you know, when you do get a sign from Nick, you thank him. A lot of people don't think to do that, you know. So, you know, you let him know that you received the sign. You thank him for it. So, do you think it works the other way? Like, when it comes to communicating with our loved ones in spirit, does it help if we express
I'm sorry, I lost your audio.
Oh, when it comes to communicating with people on the other side, does it help if we express our intention to them? In other words, ask them to send a sign? I know you thank them after you get.
To me it does. To me, I mean, if we want the communication, you know, communication is commune, both sides. You can talk to them. You know, I hear mediums all the time. They advertise, and people will say, one in particular, I talk to dead people. Well, everybody talks to dead people. If they pray, everybody talks to dead people. It's when they start talking to you that you've got to realize it's real. And you need to keep the communication open. You need to acknowledge. But yes, ask for a sign. Ask for something that you will recognize. Be open to things. The word keeps coming back to us, coincidence. But be open that this coincidence is more than that. And you will realize the more you are open to it, the more you request it, the more you get.
Yeah, you made me think, because you know, watching you do your 41 Signs of Hope presentations, there's one point where you always ask the audience, you know, who lost a loved one, and everybody raises their hand, and then you go, put your hands down. You know, they're not lost. Yeah. They know exactly where they are, right?
I say to them, I kind of sucker them in. It's not nice, but I sucker them in. I say, how many of you have lost somebody? And of course, every hand in the place goes up. And I say, put your hands down. You haven't lost anybody. What do you think I'm talking about over here? You know, because people, I may as well tell you what I say. We have been brought up to say the word lost. We say we lost our, well, if you lost your car keys, would you go look for them? You know? And so That's what we need to do. We need to go look for them. Bobcat Goldthwait, the comedian, says, I lost my job. He said, well, I didn't lose my job. I know where it is. Just when I go there, somebody else is doing it. Right. And then he says, I lost my girl. He said, well, I didn't lose my girl. I know where she is. It's just when I go there, somebody else. Well, never mind. And so,
all right.
And that's what people need to understand. You know, it's up to us. We're the ones that are not open. We're the ones that are not hearing. We're the ones that are not getting the message. You know, the Back to the Future movie, McFly, you know, you gotta be open.
Yeah, and that's good advice, because there are, as you alluded to, there are people that are getting flooded, literally surrounded by signs from their loved ones, and because they're not open to it, or it doesn't fit into their frame of reference, they don't recognize them, or they just discount them, right?
Well, it's amazing. I had a woman contact me one day, and we met for a cup of coffee. She happened to be local, and she said to me, you know, I think I'm hearing from my daughter, because my daughter is sending me all of the signs that I had planned to send to her if I, you know, when I died. Right. And I said to her, well, what are you expecting? A brass band?
Yeah.
What do you want? I mean, she's doing everything. You know, it's her. What do you want? And we make it so hard for loved ones. We make it so hard because one of the things is we are afraid to admit it to anybody that we are getting these signs. You know, we're afraid to share it with people because we are afraid that somebody will invalidate it, talk us out of it. Especially men. Men are afraid, you know, it's like, you know, they're afraid Lucy's going to move that football. You know, we've been brought up in our lives, Bob and Fran, you've heard me say this before, I know, that, you know, we've been brought up to believe in Santa Claus as kids, and then we're told, well, maybe not, right? Or the Easter Bunny, well, no. And then the Tooth Fairy and what? And so what happens is people have been built up and then they get let down. Nobody would not want this to be true, but they are afraid to invest because they're afraid they will be let down again. And that is, I think, a lot of what stops people. I call it the Santa syndrome, that people are afraid they're going to be disappointed, and so they don't invest.
Yeah, that fear enters into other things. We've had people tell us that, you know, they don't, you know, they may visit a medium and they never want to go to another one because they're afraid of being disappointed. They're afraid of their loved one not coming through, you know, and that'll set them off. So we have all these preformed ideas and fears and phobias, but
And the other thing that happens when they go too, by the way, many times, as you know, they, because they're focused on wanting to hear from one person, or they're focused on wanting to have a particular scenario. I remember when our son Chris went to see Robert Brown, and Robert said to him, "Who's William?" And Chris said, "There's no William. There's William." He went, "Well, Chris's, I'm his stepfather. Chris's father's name is William, and Chris's brother's name is William."
Right, but there's
but
no.
Of
William.
Course, he called. Huh?
But there's no William.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, one is Dad, and one's Billy. You know,
right.
I mean, you don't think because you and you're looking to answer the question of the medium, and you're nervous about that. There are a lot of things that go into this that make people have what they think are not very good readings, but they really are good if they just relax and listen.
Yeah. So there's something that I've never asked you, and I want to ask you because I've asked many people, we've done surveys about it. So you have obviously had an enormous number of direct communications from Nick. I mean, the book 41 Signs of Hope, you know, is full of them. You also, I know, because I know you personally, have experienced some very evidential communications through a third party, namely a medium. So which do you think is more powerful, getting a direct communication or getting a communication through a medium?
I honestly think, I don't know about powerful, but impactful. I think it's more impactful to have somebody who doesn't know you, who can't, because you will trust the fact, if someone says something to you that they couldn't possibly know, and they say something to you that you know is definitely your son, as we have had, as you know, then it just really validates for you. Another thing that validates for you is when you go to a second medium or a third medium and they start telling you almost identically what the other two have said, and they didn't know each other and didn't conspire with each other, there's another way of validating. But for me, if a total stranger, if a medium gives me something that I absolutely would recognize as my son, that's very impactful for me.
Yeah, it's interesting. And you know, here's the thing. When I years ago, we did a survey like that. And when I asked the question, in my mind, I thought that the overwhelming majority was going to say they'd rather have a direct communication from their loved one. But in reality, in the survey, it was about 50-50. And then when we started to analyze it, it's some of the things that you said. A lot of people, they mentioned they'd rather have it through a medium because they don't necessarily trust that the information they're getting directly is really happening. So they want
somebody else. Yeah, I mean, this is why I wouldn't trust myself to be hypnotized for a past life experience, because I have a very vivid imagination. I'm a writer and a performer and an ad libber. And so I wouldn't trust what I went through or what I was said or was told I said or whatever, because I wouldn't trust it because I don't trust me.
Right.
You know, I don't trust me. You know, I'm a liar, I guess, you know. And so I wouldn't really trust it. Yeah. So I wouldn't trust it, you know. So
yeah.
I think that's what happens. You want it to be so badly, you're afraid that you're imagining it. And you're not, as you know, the impact of us, of when I say knowing it's your son, we had a medium that told us the very last words my son spoke to me. There is no way that anybody could know that. No way.
Yeah.
And that, if I thought of that, it wouldn't have been as impactful as, I mean, it absolutely changed my life, that reading. It absolutely changed my life because we knew, my wife and I knew without a doubt that that was our boy.
Right, and it's not something, it wasn't a common phrase. I mean, you don't just pull that out of thin air, you know? It wasn't,
exactly.
You know, it wasn't, exactly. I love you. Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah. So the specificity is what makes it so dramatic. You know, many of the signs that you've gotten from Nick were examples of how our loved ones in spirit, they can manipulate energy to affect physical matter, to physical objects, you know, psychokinesis. So tell us about the windshield wiper story. I think that's in your book.
All right. Well, after Nikki passed, I do shows and I have equipment and stuff, and I have the little van. And after Nikki passed, all of a sudden my windshield wipers would start. They would just go. Not continually. It would just do it once. You know, yeah. And if I was playing his music or thinking about him, the windshield wipers would go. And one day I was at a place getting some props for a show, and my change was 41 cents. And I took that, and that's Nikki's number, 41. So I said out loud, "Okay, Nick, I know that's you, honey, checking in. Thank you, sweetheart." And I took the 41. I got in to the car, and I said, "Thank you, honey." And the windshield wipers, again. I said, "Okay, honey." It was a beautiful sunny day like today. It was gorgeous, and my windshield wipers kept going back and forth. Finally, I said, and I couldn't shut them off because they weren't on.
Right.
And I said, "Nick, please, you know, people are going to think I'm crazy. You know, will you give me a break? I know it's you, honey." So we pull into the Kentucky Fried Chicken lot. I jump out, just me, in the car, and I go in and get a sandwich, come out, start the car, and again with the windshield wipers. And I said out loud to Nick, "Geez, this kid won't get off my back today." And I looked backwards to back up, and my rear windshield wiper went.
See, those are examples, you know, by intention and command. You asked and you received in spades.
Exactly. You know? and it was something that Nikki would do. Nikki would bust me like that and do that to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, another question. I mean, Nick, obviously, he contemplated a deeper meaning to life, you know, when he was with us, and he contemplated what might come next. I mean, he wrote a play, actually, about, you know, the angels among us. So do you think that this may be why Nick is such a strong communicator today, because he thought about these things when he was in the physical?
I think that he had obviously been here before. Another thing that I'm not sure you know about this, but my wife's late husband passed, her ex-husband passed, and Nikki was about 14. And at the collation after the funeral, he was in the house and he was saying to everybody, "Don't be sad. He's fine. But don't be sad. He's right here. He's fine." Now, Nikki was just 14 when that happened. And he was telling us that Bill, Joanne's ex, was fine. So he, in his own way, knew. The play that he wrote a year before he passed, and it's about teenagers who die and come back as angels. It's called They Walk Among Us. And it's all about these three young teenagers who were trying to help a young man. And the last line in the play is, Grace the angel says to the boy they're trying to help, "In the end, everything, and I mean everything, will be just fine." And the last line in the play is, "Do not fear to hope." So we put that on Nikki's headstone. And this boy has let us know time and again that there's nothing to fear.
Yeah, and he's done so with frequency and with impact and in many different ways. So his creative side did not end with his physical death, that's for sure. We have been talking with Dave Kane. The book is called 41 Signs of Hope. We have a lot more to talk about with Dave, but we're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be back in a few, so stay with us.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlak.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one. Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world, but for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential, and research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
If you are just tuning in, we have been talking to Dave Kane. Our sponsor is the Comlock Center, and they can be found on the web at comlock.com. We want to remind our listeners to check the events page on our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, for all of the latest events and happenings. And coming up free this month, this coming month of August, for our members, we have on August 10th from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, and that's from 11 to noon Pacific and everything in between, the Visionary Explorers Group meets online. On August 21st from 9 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Body, presented by none other than our Signs of Life radio host, Bob Ginsberg, is free to members. Mark your calendar. for Wednesday night, August 21st, from 9 to 10:30 Eastern Time, to tune in via your device for a special presentation that will cover telepathy, mediumship, deathbed visions, near-death experiences, remote viewing, reincarnation, electronic voice phenomena, after-death communications, and other experiences that can redefine our role in a connected universe. Bob will field questions from the attendees live during the webinar. Please calculate the time for wherever you are in the world and then sign up. This webinar is free for our members only, and for our non-members who are listeners tonight, please use the code August 2019 for half-price seats. The annual Summer Grief Retreat, Love Knows No Death, begins tomorrow, and we look forward to welcoming our attendees to this great weekend with certified mediums Rebecca Ann LoCicero, Siri Bernstein, and Joe Scheel, along with Dr. Mo Hanna and a caring staff of facilitators. The mystery of death is not a mystery at all, but a doorway to another chapter of continuing life. If you have missed out on this retreat, mark your calendars for January 10th through 12th, 2020 in Fort Myers, Florida, for our annual Winter Grief Retreat. Our Holidays Past Raffle 2019 is up and running. You can win up to 5 medium readings with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, Janet Nohavik, Joanne Gerber, Ginger Quinlan, Dustin Livers, and Bobby Allison. So enter early and enter often. One chance is only $5, and surely you would love to help our work continue with a simple $5 raffle ticket purchase and a chance to win. And please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great not-for-profits. And follow us on YouTube channel for our great stories and videos at youtube.com/afterlifeeducation. Back to you, Bob.
And we're back with the author of 41 Signs of Hope, Dave Kane. Dave, here's a question that I ask you because a lot of people ask us. And as the years go by, do you find that you get fewer signs from Nick? Fewer than, let's say, in the first couple of years after his passing?
I've heard several people say that they have had their signs kind of quiet down or drift. Not Nick. Nick has been in there like gangbusters still. He still does stuff that astounds us. I mean, you know, when you and I talk and things happen, and I'll say to you, oh, you might say to me, or I'll say to you, you're not going to believe this, right? Well, of course we believe it. Look where we are. Look what we're doing, right?
Right.
But there are times that he'll do something, and I'll think, oh, that's got to be Nick. Oh, my God, that was astounding. So, no, it's continued. And my wife was very concerned that they would stop, but they haven't. We're still hearing from them. We had a ton of 41s driving back home today because I was going to be on with you, I think. And we had license plates are great, by the way. We get them all the time, license plates, as you know. And we were getting a ton of 41s all the way home tonight.
Yeah. Well, you know, it brings up an interesting point. Over the years, Fran and I would sometimes get signs from Nick, even though we never knew Nick when he was in the physical. And then I know on some occasions, I mean, you'd get signs from you know, our deceased daughter, even though you never knew her.
Absolutely.
So the question is, do you think that our loved ones in spirit, you know, sometimes team up or act as partners to get messages through?
Oh, I do. I do. I have a couple of things to say about that. First of all, with you and me, our kids absolutely met each other before you and Fran and Joe and I met each other. They were definitely had hooked up and got us together. There's no doubt in my mind. I on the air one day, I was talking about the 41 stuff, and a lady called me. And she said to me, I can't believe you're talking about this. I said, why? She said, first of all, I never have a day off. She said, I work 7 days a week. Today, I have a day off. She said, I never listen to radio. She said, I'm listening. She said, and I hate talk radio. She said, now I'm listening to you. She said, and you're talking about your son. She said, about 15 years ago, my son passed away and I had a nervous breakdown. And I've only been back to work about 4 years. She said, and recently I thought that I was seeing my son or hearing my son in the house. And I thought I was, you know, losing it again. And she said, and now you're talking about this. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you what I think happened. I think your son and my son have hooked up. And I think your son wanted to come and visit, but he was afraid of sending you over the fence, right? So he talked to my son, and my son said to him, you want to talk to your mom? Let's go talk to my dad. And somehow they were able to get her to be listening to me on a day when I was talking about the topic.
Right.
No doubt in my mind that they connect. No doubt.
Makes sense. Well, I know that you were brought up in the Catholic religion. So, I mean, how do you handle pushback that you sometimes get by those who claim that communicating with the spirit world, you know, violates certain religious principles?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we have to remember that the Bible is full, especially the Old Testament, is full of, I used to say that the church doesn't believe in mediums, they only believe in prophet. But people have to realize it, especially in the Old Testament. I mean, there were burning bushes, angels were visiting people and giving them messages. They were being told to do this and to do that. And to think that, I mean, mediumship, in my opinion, is just the modern day version of the prophet, the modern day. And in scripture, by the way, in scripture, it says, Jesus says to the crowd, what I did, what you call miracles, what I did, you can do and more, for I will be with the Father. So he was encouraging us to do this and to be open to this, because this, I believe, is his way of letting us know there is nothing to fear, letting us know that in the end, everything, and I mean everything, is going to be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, it appears that, you know, the founders of these religions, you know, were brought up in these mystical traditions, and they didn't have these rules, you know, that everybody had access to all these dimensions. The rules came much later, you know, the control thing.
Yeah, it was all about control. It was all about, you know, you got to wear that T-shirt to get into heaven, you know, and that's too bad, because it really takes away from the opportunity. I want to point out, since you've brought it up, that we believe, our family and our friends, we believe that all of this is from a good and loving God who wants us to be fine, who wants us to feel safe, who wants us to know his love. Nikki is telling us, Dad, Jesus' promise of eternal life is no bull. I'm living it. Now, whether you believe in Jesus or Allah or Sam from down the street, I don't care. It's the same message, and it's for everybody. Do not fear to hope. Be not afraid.
Yeah. Has it been your observation over the years that people whom you come into contact with that believe in an afterlife do better in their grief than those who do not?
Better in their grief. Well, I think that they have it in perspective, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I had a conversation yesterday, Bob. It just happened yesterday. I have a friend of mine who has pancreatic cancer, and he's very concerned about the outcome of this. He hasn't been given a lot of hope. And I was talking to him, and I was trying, on one hand, as a friend, trying to encourage him to, you know, that everything's going to be fine and he's going to beat this thing. And then I found myself talking about the 41 stuff and about the, and it was very tough for me, because I didn't want him to think that I was saying, okay, pack your bags.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, I wanted him to have the security of what Nikki has been telling us, that there's nothing to fear.
Right.
And so I was really between a rock and a hard place during that conversation.
Yeah.
But I did what I could, and I think, I don't know if I helped them, but so
yeah,
it's very tough.
Yeah, I think a lot of people faced that same situation, the same circumstances. And I sort of changed my outlook on that. I think if somebody is close to physical death and they have some fears, I would try to give them evidence and hope, and comfort and try and make a difference that way. I mean, you don't want to lie to people and keep telling, everybody's telling them they're going to get better. They know they're not, So, why feed into that? I always think now that it's better to, I mean, not to preach or proselytize or anything, but just tell them some of your stories, I think.
Yeah. That's what I do. It's very tough because we know, what's going on. And at least I think we do. and so you want to share it. It's like when you know a restaurant that's got great pizza, you want to tell everybody, right? You got to really try this. This is the best. And so this is the same thing. It's just telling people, I know the good news. And you've heard me say this before, I know, that I don't try to force anything on anybody. It's like if you come to my house for a Christmas party and I tell you the buffet is in the dining room, if you don't go in the dining room, it's not my fault you didn't eat.
Right. No, I didn't hear that one.
Okay. So yeah. I just tell them, here it is. Here's what I've got. Here's what I know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you want to take part in it, you'll have something too.
And I think that we will all be in a better place on a lot of levels if we simply share what we experience. I mean, you've been doing that for years now, but if everybody else simply shared with their friends or family or, maybe even some colleagues or whoever, there would be
more acceptance of it, I would think.
Yeah, I think there would be more acceptance, and you could.
Well, people don't. I don't think they don't do it, Bob, because they're afraid. As I said, people are going to think they're crazy. Now, I've made a career out of being crazy, so I don't care. But people are afraid, right? they're going to be laughed at. People are just afraid that they're going to be talked out of it. Or they want it to be real, and so that's what keeps people from sharing it too. Especially if you're older. If you're older, right away people say, "Oh, poor Aunt Tilly, she's losing it. She's talking to Uncle Fred. Blah blah blah."
Right.
And it's terrible.
Yeah, I know. Well, you get that look, and people say, "Well, if it makes you feel better, it's like."
Yeah.
Through you.
Good to you, honey. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So
it's so funny.
I mean, we've seen even in our events, and certainly at the end of your presentations that you give, people come up to you and they start sharing experiences with you, and because you opened up the discussion and you projected that you're not going to judge them and these things are acceptable, and then they open up. So, you always see people come up to you and saying that. So do you think that people today are becoming more willing to share their experiences?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Especially, of course, after they hear me talk, they feel safe. But I've done, I did one interview on YouTube 4 years ago now. And I am being still called and get emails and get messages and notes from people literally all over the world who want to tell me about their child that has passed and want to tell me about the incident. And so I read them all and I answer the phone calls and return them because they are looking for somebody who isn't going to say what we just said, right? Oh, poor girl, she's lost it. She's off the track. Because when that happens, You're dismissing the child, in our case. You're dismissing the person by doing that. Not the person who's talking to you, but the person who died, person who deceased.
We have been talking with Dave Kane, the author of 41 Signs of Hope. Website is davekane.net. I would encourage you to learn more about, you know, his work, not only the book, maybe if you want to be entertained, he does some fabulous one-man shows in various spots, but throughout the kind of the tri-state
Thank
area.
You. Thank you.
I think you'll be well worth your effort if you learn as much as you can about Dave and pick up the book, 41 Signs of Hope. Thank you, Dave, and great.
Listen, I want to thank you and Fran too, and I want to compliment you for your show on one thing. I love the announcer on your show. The guy is really terrific.
Yeah, now, for those who don't know. Dave is complimenting himself on that. All right. Well, thanks.
All right, guys. God bless you. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Good night.
All right. Bye, friend. Bye-bye.
Good night. We now ask our listeners to please join us in our global peace prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind. Let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.